Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Godstone Baptist Church. It's fantastic to see you all here, travelling, some of you from halfway around the world. And thank you for coming and for remembering Andrew today. Andrew's body is going to begin its last journey here on earth in a moment. But we're going to sing as that happens. And we're going to sing a song that is a wonderful comfort, Blessed Assurance. And today is all about an assurance that we know where Andrew is. We know this is not the end. We know God has a wonderful future for Andrew. So shall we stand and shall we sing as the coffin comes into the church? Let's stand together. Be seated. We do want to welcome you. Thank you for coming. And thank you for this, spending this time together as family and as friends, which is so important at times like this. In our culture, we tend not to be very good when faced with death. We tend to rush on to the next thing. We tend not to pause long enough to understand what's happening or to consider what's happened. The losses and the gains that we face. In Celtic Christianity, they never did that. They always stopped long enough to work through what was happening. And that's what today is all about. And I want to read you a Celtic prayer that is all about that. That is all about taking the time today to come to terms and to grieve. And also to rejoice together. This is what it says. Do not hurry as you walk with grief. It does not help the journey. Walk slowly. Pause often. Do not hurry as you walk with grief. Be not disturbed by memories that come unbidden. Swiftly forgive and let Christ speak for you unspoken words. Unfinished conversation will be resolved in Him. So be not disturbed. Be gentle with the one who walks in grief. If it is you, be gentle with yourself. Swiftly forgive. Walk slowly. Pause often. Take time to be gentle as you walk with grief. I pray today may be an opportunity for you to do all of that and to comfort one another and to seek most of all the comfort of Christ, of God, in your life. The family are involved, and it's been a real pleasure just spending time with family and arranging Andrew's funeral with them. And right now, I'm going to hand over to Angela, who's going to read to us from Psalm 23. Thanks, Angela. Amen. Thanks, Angela. I love the last phrase, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's what's happened for Andrew today. So let's give thanks to the God who made that possible for Andrew and the way that He made it possible for Andrew as we sing our next hymn, O Lord my God, how great thou art. Let's stand together. Amen. Please be seated. Today is a thanksgiving for Andrew's life, and it's an opportunity to hear about his life. I've been here for 3 years at Godstone, and so I'm still a bit of a foreigner here in Godstone, as you might imagine. You have to be here about 900 years before you're officially a local in Godstone. But it's been great to hear about Andrew's life and sharing with the family from his time here at the church in the 1980s and the family's life. But we'll hear a lot more than that right now as we remember his life, with the aim really of thanking God for the gift of life that he has given to us by giving us Andrew and enabling us to be part of that journey for 76 years. So I'm going to hand over first, and I'm going to hand over to Andrew's granddaughter, Tilly. Is that right, Tilly? Marvellous. I'm going to hold a little microphone here so everybody can hear you, because I don't think you'll reach that one. You're a bit short. There you go. You're shorter than me. There you go. I'll come down with you, and I'll hold a microphone, and off you go. Are you all right? Go for it.
I know we are all feeling a little bit sad that we've lost our granddad, our friend, and our dad. Together we have cried an ocean of tears as we feel so empty and hold many fears. But Grandad would want us to know he's in a good place and that he is watching us all with a smile on his face, as we have made him so proud as can be, that he has raised such a beautiful and special family. Although he has gone, we will always be together, as his spirit will live on each one of us forever. When you look to the sky, look for the brightest star, as that will be Grandad looking down on us from afar. And now I would like to thank the good Lord above for blessing us with our Grandad with his kindness and love. Dear God, if it's not too much fuss, take extra special care of our Grandad, as he is very dear to us. Grandad, if you are listening, say a prayer for us every day. Be sure to protect us and guide us on our way. We know when God called you, you had to go. But we want you to know, Grandad, we miss you and love you so.
Thank you, Tilly. That was fantastic. Not a dry eye in the house now, is there? It's set you all off, which is good. That's good. The rest of the family are going to share as well. Probably not as well as you, Tilly, because you did it brilliantly. But they're gonna try as well, just to share something that picks up who Grandad was. And I'm going to hand over. These are all official titles, aren't they? And when Lionel introduced them, this is not, is it Uncle?
Uncle Harry.
Uncle Harry is what I know him by. Yeah, so Uncle Harry is going to come right now and lead us. Thanks, Uncle Harry. Great. Let me suggest, I'll give you that because it'll pick you up better than that one. That's right. Great.
I think there's a big difference in the age between Tilly and myself. I am probably the oldest living member of the family. When I say the family, Andrew, I think I speak
about it. You're right.
his life. I knew him quite well, and he's now going to be with the Lord. And that's, as your minister said, is something that all of us aspire towards and we look forward to it. For those perhaps who are in this congregation who don't know the Lord, I always make it a point to say this. Funerals are all right because people who have gone to be with the Lord. But for those of us who are left behind, we've got to take stock of our lives. Yes, at the end of the day, you've got to make your stand with the Lord. And I believe that the Lord gives us ample chances to do that. Now, the family have asked me to read a portion of Scripture. And I think Logi very kindly gave me something which Andrew liked. It's taken from the book of Timothy, chapter 6. And I'm going to just read a couple of verses. But it starts from verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and are trapped into many foolish and harmful desires and plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep the command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Uncle Harry. That was great. You're doing my job for me. It's wonderful. I always want to tell people that it is a great opportunity, isn't it, to reflect on what really matters in life, and funerals make you stop and do that. What really matters. Yeah, that's really good. Thank you. I'm going to hand over now to Roy, also known as Lionel. Roy. Is it? That was my fault. There you go. Roy, also known as Roy. Over to you, Roy. Thank you.
I'd like to start by thanking Lord Gentry, Lionel, Sean, Angela for giving this opportunity to say a few words on behalf of my mother, Faith, who, as you heard, is the younger sister of Andrew and Uncle. Our deepest sympathies to yourself, during this difficult time. My mother and Andrew Uncle grew up together in Colombo, Sri Lanka, in the family home. During this time, one of my mom's distinct memories was how close Andrew Uncle was to his own mother. And later when the father retired, how attached he became to him as well. He was very affectionate towards them both. Andrew Uncle and my mother both enjoyed movies very much, and growing up, and one of her fondest memories of Andrew Uncle is when he used to take her out to the cinema maybe two or three times a month. They really did enjoy their movies. After their father passed away, Andrew Uncle, as you heard, traveled to the UK. My mother was around 19 years of age at the time. She recalls how he used to provide financial help regularly to his mother, who's still back at home. He was very thoughtful of thinking of others. I think Harry also mentioned something similar. He used to give gifts regularly. As a late teen, my mother recalls receiving lots of wonderful gifts, saris and fragrances from the UK. My mother, as well as our mama as well, described Andrew Uncle as being a quiet and reflective person. He always managed to get along with everyone. He had a great sense of humour once you could get him talking. And my mother believes he got that from their father. My mother will miss him sincerely, as I'm sure all of us here will. To close, I would like to read a short poem that reflects the hope that we have of seeing our loved ones once again. As the darkness of night approaches and the sun disappears, your heart is filled with sadness and your eyes are filled with tears. The memories of your father and the time you shared are replaced with emptiness and the thoughts of how he cared. God does not want us to hurt. Put your faith in the unseen. Put your trust in God above, and in time you'll see that behind every dark sky, his soul is flying free. On the other side of life, time is standing still. All pain and sorrow leave us, for this is our Father's will. Your Father is at peace now, so dry away your tears, because we have a hope that we will unite again one day. Thank you.
Amen. It's fantastic. Thank you, Roy. That was great. Now I'm going to hand over to Lionel, also known as Lionel. And Lionel's going to bring a tribute on behalf of the family too. Thanks, Lionel.
Jesus Christ, in a silent, discreet, yet powerful manner. Dad was our protector and always maintained a positive guiding nature simultaneously with our mum. This was demonstrated continually during our school years, university years, and working lives as we progressed to present day. Dad and mum supported each of their children in their creative pursuits and studies during our school years. When I was a little boy, my dad fueled my infatuation for cars, whether it was taking my brother and myself to car showrooms, London motor shows, and helping me collect a myriad of car magazines, brochures, and die-cast models. Thanks to my dad, this passion for cars still stays true today. My sister has many fond and close memories of my dad. Dad always inspired and supported her. For example, this was evident by Dad encouraging her arty side during school, which included taking her to art galleries with Mum, numerous visits to the libraries, transporting her artwork, and attending her art exhibition. Dad and Mum always gave everything for the three of us and expected nothing in return. My sister, Angela, will always remember Dan as the best father who was loving, caring, and had a cheeky sense of humour, and was always protective. My dad may have been small in stature, however, he had a wealth of experience, direction, and love, which he shared with his family and friends. He loved to socialise and gave humour in his own distinctive way, spreading fun and laughter with his relatives, friends, and working colleagues in his own unique fashion. My father loved the company of his family, including the addition of my sister-in-law Sabina and his beautiful grandchildren Tilly and Joshua. We often say both his grandchildren show so many similarities to both my dad's and mum's personalities. His caring nature was portrayed in his career path of nursing, which he and both my mum followed when they moved to England from Sri Lanka in the late 1960s, where they looked after patients with conditions in hospitals who were needing the specific care and attention to assist in their health recovery. I'd like to thank all the kind doctors and health staff who gave their support and dedication to help our dad fight his health issues over the past years. We will always have our dad in our hearts as we now continue to progress forwards under the stewardship of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, I will attempt this year, but as a family we will be strong to continue the legacy as we move forward from today. I want to thank everyone who has attended today on behalf of the Kilpatrick family. It would have meant so much to my dad, and we appreciate in abundance all your support and prayers provided to each member of the family today. My dad's very last sad words to me in hospital were, "United we stand, divided we fall." We will continue to ensure his final request is maintained. God bless our dearest dad, and we know you are at peace now with our Lord Jesus in heaven.
Well done. Thank you, Lionel. Well done. We're going to pray right now because we're going to acknowledge that all the things you've heard about Andrew are because of God who created him. The God whose idea Andrew was. And we're going to give him the glory right now. Shall we pray?
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Father, we do want to thank you that you're the Lord of life. We want to thank you that Andrew was your idea. Before you placed any star in the sky, the Bible tells us we were on your mind. We were part of your plan. And we want to thank you that because you're the Lord of life, we have a tremendous hope. We want to say thank you to Jesus who has given us a brand new life and everything to live for. Even at a funeral, he has given us everything to live for, including a future in heaven. Because we know that Jesus was raised to life and defeated death. Today we remember and we give thanks for your servant, your son, your friend, Andrew. We thank you that he walked with you in this life and now he meets you for the first time, face to face. We thank you that today Andrew receives an inheritance that shall never fade and never spoil, that you have been keeping for him for 76 years. Today he receives it all. A life healed and a life whole. We thank you. He will receive his commendation from the very lips of Jesus himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. We thank you he is free. We thank you he is healed. We thank you he is perfected. And yet, Lord, for all that Andrew has gained today, his friends and his family feel a deep sense of loss. They miss him. A husband, a father, a grandfather, an uncle, a friend. So we pray for them. For Logie, for Lionel, for Sean and for Angela. For Andrew's brothers and sisters, Lord, for Mark. And Faith, and Timothy. Lord, for all the family who are gathered here today, who grieve his loss. We know that we're not meant to carry burdens alone. We were never designed to be self-sufficient as human beings. We need each other to be comforted, healed, and made whole. And we need you. And when others cannot be there, we want to thank Jesus for your promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will come to you. So Lord, may their grief be softened by Andrew's joy, because he has fought that good fight. He has finished that race. He has kept his faith, his trust in you, and now there awaits for him the applause of heaven as another son of the King arrives home. We give you all the praise and all the honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing together something that Andrew would have said. He had a friend. His friend was Jesus. And today, those friends are united in a way they never previously have. Let's stand and celebrate that. Amen. Please be seated. So we're here today, aren't we, just to give thanks to God for Andrew. We're here today to pay tribute to his life and his achievements and all that he meant to each person in this room. To acknowledge his place in our lives and to say a respectful and a loving farewell. And we're also here, I think, to acknowledge hope. To remind ourselves of it and to confirm it with one another in a world which in the last week seems to be struggling with hope. You know, there are all sorts of things we hope for in life. Hopes we have for ourselves and hopes we have for our loved ones. I'm a father of three, so I have all sorts of hopes for my kids, and I'm 50 now, so I have all sorts of hopes for my retirement. It's a way off yet, and it probably keeps moving away from me, to be honest, but there you go. I have hopes that my annuity will recover from the last 7 days. You know, I have all sorts of hopes, and you probably do too. But what are the best things that we can have hoped for Andrew on this day? What are the best things that we can hope for? Well, there are all sorts of things. But I believe two very special ones. You know, there's always a hope for a long and a good life. That sort of used to be the standard thing that parents said to kids, didn't they? They said, be good. Be good. Nowadays, it tends to be happy. A long and happy life. But the Christian hope is different. The Christian hope is that each of us will have a long and a good life. It's not a hope for a bed of roses. Andrew's life wasn't a bed of roses. As he said, he struggled with health for so long. It wasn't a hope for an easy ride. That would be a bit unchallenging, wouldn't it? That would be a bit monotonous. It's a hope that includes enough hills to climb and sufficient weight to carry to enable us to build character and love and grace and forgiveness. And you only build those things through the more difficult things in life. It's a hope that our lives would have counted, not just in the world's economy, but in God's economy. That we've lived for more than just ourselves. That we've lived for something bigger than just our own agenda and our own concerns. That would be a good life. That we've been part of the world's healing and not part of the world's pain. I'm glad to say that Andrew was somebody who enjoyed both of those. A long life? Well, you might think 76 years was a little bit short in today's standards, by today's standards, but it is said that a long life may not be good enough. But a good life is always long enough. And I think he lived a good life. And that's long enough. So a long life. But a good life? There are a number of tests for that in the Bible to determine whether my life is a good life or not. It's an interesting one to look through and do a little inventory of our lives sometimes. There's an old Jewish proverb that says, God will judge us by whether we enjoyed the good things he gave us or whether we spurned them. And as you'd heard from Uncle Harry, he was always grateful and rarely complaining. He always enjoyed the things he had. He always seemed to be grateful. So I think he qualifies on that front. There is another test in the Bible, Matthew 25:37, the test at the end of history. Jesus says to those who gather before him, did you feed the hungry? Did you give the thirsty a drink? Did you respond to the stranger and invite them in? Did you clothe and care for the sick? Did you visit those who were oppressed? It paints a picture of someone who doesn't walk through life just with their own life in front of them, but actually looks around and meets the needs of people as they meet them. And the king tells them on that day, whatever you did for these people who had needs, you did it for me. You did it for me. And from what I know of Andrew's life, he will have no difficulty passing that test. His faith told him not just to love himself, but to love others. The second commandment. At Nethern and Cainhill mental health units, his care for his own family and their sense of loss is that much deeper because of the level of care and selflessness that he demonstrated with them. A long life, yes, because a good life is always long enough. We can say a confident yes to a good life. What else would we hope for him? What else would you hope for each other? Well, I think that's obvious. We'd hope for the promise of heaven. We'd hope that this is not the end. We'd hope that the best really is yet to come. We would hope for our loved ones that they go to a better place, a wonderful place, a place where they shall be free from pain and all their joys are included and all their struggles are excluded. A place we read about, if you open your Bible, so Revelation chapter 21, and you can read about that place there. That's the Christian hope. That's the joy of being able to conduct today a Christian funeral. A funeral where people have hope for that. The irony today is that about 57% of the UK says they believe in heaven. 57%. But only 5% of people seem to know how you ever get there. A lot of people say you can't know if you're going to go to heaven. You just have to take your chances. You just have to do the best you can and hope that you make the grade. It doesn't square with what Jesus told us. Jesus said in Luke 10, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It doesn't square with what Paul, that great apostle, wrote when he wrote to a church and he said, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. It doesn't square with what the apostle John said when he was told about heaven by an angel. And the angel referenced those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a register in heaven. There is a register. And it's got the names of all those who are eligible. It's not a chance thing. It's not a maybe if I'm good enough thing. There is a way to have your name on that ledger. The big question is, how do you do that? It's pretty simple, really. A few months ago, I took my wife, and I got loads of brownie points for this. I took my wife on a romantic weekend to Paris. That should last me for a long time, that particular maneuver. But there you go. I took her on a romantic. It's the first time we've ever done that. First time we've gone to Paris. We've married 23 years. And I didn't want anything to go to chance, so I booked absolutely everything. I made sure everything was in place. A bit like Lionel, really. I think Lionel was like that as well. Did you get that off Dad? Was he like that? Yeah, there you go. Okay. So I booked everything. I booked the car parking in advance. I booked the Eurostar in advance, got the seats, made sure everything was in place. I booked the hotel room in advance. Everything was ready when I arrived. It was all there. It was all confirmed. It was all definite. I even got vouchers for the Museum d'Orsay. I was that keen. I got everything sorted out in advance. If you want to be assured of going anywhere, you have to book in advance. You have to book. Common statement, book early to avoid disappointment. And the same goes for our hope of heaven, for Andrew's hope of heaven. That's what the children of heaven have already done. They have sent their names on ahead. They have walked with Jesus in this life, so they won't be surprised at their appearance in the next. He already knows them. They are already friends, so they will be together. They have secured a place for the best show in history, and there will be a place waiting for them because they have done something about it. Andrew did that. A personal decision. not just a vague hope, a personal decision that rhymes with Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, in other words, if you make Jesus Christ the leader of your life, that you let him lead, and you listen to him and do what he says and follow him, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if you believe Jesus really was who he said he was, God's son, and that the cross works, and that we can all be forgiven, if you grab hold of those two things, that's it. That's the deal. And it's open to anyone. Andrew did that. And that's why today is a day not filled with guesswork, but with tremendous hope and joy. He had to wait 76 years to claim his place. Andrew had a habit of arriving late. 76 years, you could argue, is a bit late. But the wonderful thing is his place was reserved. And it didn't matter whether he was late or early. He was guaranteed what God had promised. It's a wonderful thing to know that we can confirm our best hopes for Andrew today. We can believe, not just hope, a vague hope, but a confirmed hope that these things are true. A long and a good life, no doubt. A place in heaven, assured. Blessed assurance. But let's be a little selfish as we close, shall we? Because if you're anything like me, you're probably a little bit selfish. These aren't just things we hope for Andrew. These are things we hope for our kids and for our partners and for ourselves. A long and a good life and an assured place in glory. These are things I hope for everybody in this room. Do you know what qualifies in God's eyes as a good life? Are you doing things for him and in his name? Are you living for more than just yourself? Are you living something for bigger? Something like the kingdom of God? Are you living for that? And do you know if your name is in heaven's register? Have you ever sent your name ahead by making the leader, the forgiver, and the Lord of your life? Will others have the same hope for you as we have for Andrew? I hope so. But that is down to the choices we make starting today. Praise God that we have that confidence for Andrew today. It changes everything. It changes this from a time of despair to a time of rejoicing. And we thank God for that. I'm going to hand over to more family members. I've been looking forward to this. And I'm going to hand over to Karu. And I believe you're just going to come and sing to us. Is that right? Fantastic. Thanks, Karu. And this is based on Psalm 121. If you want to follow the words in English, you're going to sing it in Tamil to us, aren't you? Is that right? Fantastic. If you want to follow the words in English, just pick up a Bible in front of you. Look to Psalm 121 and you'll be able to follow that. Thanks, Karen. Thank you, Corey. Words of that song are, I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? When I'm faced with the mountains, when I'm faced with the mountain of death, where does my help come from? Who is big enough to help me with that? My help comes from the Lord. Praise God. In a moment, we're just going to say a blessing together, but the family will be going to Bletchingley, to the cemetery there, and encourage those who feel they can make it there. That would be great. The family, don't worry if you're not able to do that. There is, you'd probably need to park a little way away from the cemetery because parking is limited, so you'd need to be able to walk, and also the ground is a little bit uneven around the particular plot that we're heading to. So just be aware of that. And if you need to stay back, that's okay. Feel free to stay back here. If you can join us, that would be great. We should be back before 2:30, I'm hoping. But in the meantime, if you're staying on, please stay. There's a basket out in the foyer at the front there, and there's also one at the back on a table of remembrance. The family would love, if you're able, to give a donation to Diabetes UK. And to be able to bless others today as well. So that's available for you too. If you're coming along to the cemetery, please bring your order of service because there's some songs in there that the family would love to sing too. So bring that along with you. Okay. Let me close this part of our time together with a blessing. Therefore, since we are reminded of pioneers like Andrew who have run this race and who cheer us on to run ours too, let's throw off everything that hinders, all the bad choices that so easily entangle us, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And when our feet stumble, and our faith wavers, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Let us go over the story again, how he persevered through the cross and broke through to heaven itself. May the sight of him today fill everyone here with hope and joy and courage. And may God bless you. Amen. Amen. If you are able to join us, do follow on after the hymn that we're about to sing. But God bless you, and we'll see you soon if you do remain here.